Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cuddle up with a chipmunk. It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy to News Radio. I'm your TV guy, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter producer for Decider.com. And this is Dear Sweet God in Heaven, part 16 of the quarantine era, which means you're not going to hear any music or quotes from the episodes. You're just going to hear pure unfiltered talky talk because that's all I have the energy to give y'all. And honestly, ain't that enough? Oh my god. This week I am joined by someone that has a little bit of familiarity with some of the circumstances in today's episodes. I don't know. You know him from The Circle on the Netflix, Mr. Alex Lake. Hi, Alex.
Hello.
What's going on?
I'm here. Not much.
How is your quarantine going? I'm asking that of everyone. You're like living large, flying high.
Yeah, being trapped at home is better than being trapped in a basement, for sure.
Yes, definitely. With someone that you don't even like that much.
Yeah. I mean, with a name like Skippy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
we will get into Skippy's
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Business. So I wanted to have you on the show for a while. I wanted to do a... because you experienced a common sitcom trope of the trapped in one location. Was there any entertainment? What did you do in your downtime? You weren't allowed to watch television in your cell.
So
your apartment.
So there was one day. It was actually the first day I was in the building. So I get there and I have my first evening, and I go on my date with Rebecca. And then I wake up the next morning and they say, today's a bank holiday, so we're not playing the game. And I'm like, great, I can just talk to people. And they're like, no, we're not playing the game. So, yeah, it's my first day. I'm really excited to be there. And then immediately, nope. And during that day, they... So I don't know how the system of monitors works. All I know is that they piped in to everybody's televisions, everybody's Circle console. They piped in Friends starting from season one, episode one. And we pretty much watched the whole season. I know this is heaven for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the best seasons of TV ever.
I know. I've heard your opinions on this. No, it's good. And it's surprising how much ground it covers in those first 20 some odd episodes. Yeah. But sometimes you don't want to watch Friends.
Especially when you're there to like win money and compete, and you're like in game mode, and it's like now you're gonna watch Ross adopt a monkey for 10 episodes.
Yeah, I can't believe all that stuff with Marcel happens in the first season.
First season, he is gone by early season two, and everyone talks about Friends having a monkey, and that monkey was only in 16 episodes ish. So haters back off.
I mean, I've seen all of Friends, maybe not in proper order, because it's like I watched it in syndication.
Yeah,
because it came on after The Simpsons.
Doubleheader.
So
there are two distinct subgenres of episode that I was trying to figure out which kind to do, because there is the bottle episode, and then there's also the like stuck episode. And then I also think there's like a third subgenre of like real-time episodes. So like there's like bottle episode. Friends has great examples of all three of these. So like in season one of Friends, so you saw this, the one with the blackout, Chandler gets trapped in an ATM vestibule with Gerald Gerdaker. So like that is kind of this, that is like a trapped episode. Like there are two other subplots going on that are outside of that area, but one character's trapped in a location. That's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah.
There's also examples of that, like the Full House episode where they get trapped in a garage on, I think, Stephanie's birthday.
And they have to, like... I don't know if I remember that one. The Full House episode that I would think of with trapped is when they're trapped at the airport on Christmas.
Yeah, I've done that one. I did that one. So everyone go back and listen to, I think, Christmas number one of the podcast, 2017. Talked about our very first Christmas show.
Yeah, I don't remember the one where there's... I mean, I don't know if I've seen it.
I mean, but, Full House is wild. I mean, there's also one where they get trapped in a store on Christmas, etc. Christmas is a bad time at the Tanner household. and then there's also... So then there's the bottle episode, which is like everything takes place on one set. So, like the Chinese restaurant episode of Seinfeld, which is kind of like the parking garage episode of Seinfeld is kind of that. You are seeing you're seeing multiple levels of the parking garage, and we also go into a security guard's office, but that is in the parking garage, so maybe?
And there are no like B stories to those episodes, right?
No, it's just one.
Purely there.
Now, I think the best example of both real time, which means like the episode starts and like you're seeing a literal half hour of their lives, is Friends season 3 episode, the one where no one's ready, which is one of my favorite episodes of TV of all time. And that is both, it is all like in the living room of Monica and Rachel's apartment. And you are just seeing the half hour of them trying to get out to a banquet that Ross is having, and everyone is just falling apart mentally.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, and it's juggling. It's a great feat of television because it is also juggling like six plots, because like Monica's trying to call Richard. She leaves a bad voicemail. Phoebe gets hummus on her dress, and like Joey's stealing the cushions, and Ross is trying to drink the fat to like win Rachel. It's a lot. It's great.
But the thing is that doesn't feel like that because there's so much going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's ideal.
You don't
really realize it's a bottle episode. You don't really realize it's a real time episode. Yeah. Otherwise, it's bad and excruciating.
Yeah, it's just like, ugh. So there is another episode. There's an episode of the Bob Newhart show called Caged Fury, which is I also talked about on this podcast, that Bob and Emily get trapped in the basement of their apartment building on July 4th. And so it's mostly in the downstairs, but every now and then you go upstairs to Howard's apartment where they're all hanging out in Uncle Sam costumes. So it's not a strict bottle.
Yeah.
So, but like, I guess being in the circle is more, that's a bottle. You're living in a bottle episode, but I guess you're also trapped.
Yeah. You're trapped when it's you, it's real time.
Yeah. Yeah. So like you're living it.
Yeah, the conflict is a little less. Well, the conflict is different because you're not like you're not typically with the trapped episode. You have somebody else you're trapped with, and you're communicating with them. And instead, I'm just talking to computers.
Yeah, just flirting with computers. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and it's
The conflict is internal because I'm playing an asshole.
Yeah. Oh, you should go on in season 2 as yourself.
I'd get the boot so fast.
Well, you never know.
They would see right through it.
Well, they would also be like, hey, this is just Alex. And they would think that you were a catfish. Catfishing as yourself.
You always think everybody's a catfish at some point or another.
When I go on, I'm not going to concern myself with this. I'm just going to be like, everyone is who they say they are, and I'm not going to get stressed about that.
I mean, that's what you need to do, because just because they're a catfish, it's like, that could be your... Yeah. I mean, you just want everybody to like you.
It's still a person.
It's not a hunting game.
This is, the quarantine I've gone through and watched you've watched every circle, right? Yeah, of course you have.
Yeah.
So, like, I have gotten so angry about like the whole catfish thing is just like a ruse you do to like deflect other people, like, stop coming after me, they're a catfish. And for some reason we arbitrarily have decided that authenticity is important to this game, so it gives you a reason to vote them out with like a guilty free conscience for some reason, when it's like, no, vote them out because you don't like them.
But then what's wild to me is that I feel like the public perception is because people on the show are saying authenticity is important.
Yeah.
They think like, and it's like, what? I'm on a game show to win $100,000. What are you talking
and
about?
And in the UK, the catfish, I mean, spoiler, the catfish won both seasons, right?
Well, the first season was a hard catfish, and the second season was a soft catfish with a reveal, they were them.
But a catfish did make it to the very end, and was very. It's great. Everyone, check it out.
If the catfish that was gearing to win the second UK season won, I think that whole country would have been upset. They would have been.
That was not a more American style catfish. That was not a gentle English catfish.
I mean, it's crazy to me that the US version is so nicey nice and that the British version oddly has more tooth to it.
Oh, and the French,
I mean, really all the international
French and
versions.
Brazil, France. If people slept on France because the first like four episodes are pretty slow, watch the back half of that because shit goes nuts. Shit goes nuts in ways. People play the game recklessly and they're rewarded for it. it's just like watching, I don't know, like Indiana Jones getting out of the temple while it's crumbling around him and they keep clearing it. And it's great. But we're talking today about something else completely different, but similar.
About a different type of bottle.
This week we'll be traveling to March 7th, 1985. Witness ruled the box office. Can't Fight This Feeling by REO Speedwagon topped the charts, and NBC aired the Family Ties episode Cold Storage. Alex, you must have seen Cold Storage before today.
No.
What is your history? What's your history with Family Ties? You a Family Ties head?
I knew it existed. I knew Michael J. Fox was on it.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yep.
I knew it was, a family comedy with Michael J. Fox. Like, even watching this episode, it's like, I've never even heard this theme song before.
Wow. Yeah, like, that is a thing. I remember Family Ties from when I was a kid, but it ended in 89. So it's one of those, like, lizard brain memories of, like, I remember being a child and seeing Michael J. Fox in that chair, you know, scooting across and, like, in the opening credits. Like, that's all I remember. And the first time I really watched it was for this podcast. I think it's like episode 6 or so. I talk about a Family Ties episode with Tom Hanks as an alcoholic, as his alcoholic uncle. And you get to watch Tom Hanks and Michael J. Fox have a scene together, multiple scenes together on a NBC sitcom in 1981 or whatever, which is crazy.
That's post Bosom Buddies though, right?
Because
Bosom Buddies starts it all for Tom.
Yeah, you know, that's where he gets his. It was like a Dungeons and Dragons TV movie.
His
first thing. Like, that was like a warning against the dangers of role-playing games. It's like Masters and Mazes or something. I don't know. So I have recently been watching more Family Ties as part of my sitcom time travel project, where I watch an episode from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, all like exactly 10 years apart. And Family Ties is often my 80s one. So I've seen a lot more of seasons 1 and 2. So I have more context now. Family sitcoms are not my preferred mode of sitcom.
You say that,
what's your hot take on it?
But don't you love Family Matters? The way I've historically engaged with sitcoms is I'm watching them because they're on.
Ah.
It's like I've seen so much Friends or Seinfeld. It's Martin. It's because they're just on.
They were the easy thing to just slot on in the afternoons and you just take them in. Like, but I think like when I sit down to like my favorites, the one like News Radio, Friends, Bob Newhart Show, Dick Van Dyke Show, Odd Couple, Mary Tyler Moore, I gravitate more towards people in their 20s and 30s who are professionals and mentally damaged in some way. Life imitates art.
They steer away from the mentally damaged on the family sitcoms.
Yeah, it's all cute kids. This is the thing, the pet peeve I have the most is every family sitcom has mom, dad, multiple children who are all at least 7 or older. Then in season 3 or 4, they have a baby. Meaning there's like a solid 10-year age difference between the youngest and that that shouldn't happen. I feel like that doesn't happen as much in real life as it does in sitcoms, where it's every family.
It happens in real life, and you're just like, huh?
Okay.
Wow.
I guess. Jeez, you guys are almost done. You guys are almost out. And now you have, and that happens in this episode. There's babies, and the Jennifer, the youngest, is like fully in, like maybe middle school.
Yeah, I mean, she is a thinking person.
She's got
on
character
her
gains.
Own. Yeah.
So it's let's get into this week on Must Have Seen TV. We're talking about the Family Ties episode Cold Storage. It is the 22nd episode of season 3. It was written by Mark Lawrence and directed by Lee Shalit. Here is how CBS All Access, where I streamed it, describes the episode. With the rest of the Keaton family away for the weekend, Mallory is excited about having the house to herself until she is accidentally locked in the basement with the person she least liked to be with, her adoring neighbor Skippy. Alex, how accurate is that description?
I mean, she doesn't, maybe there's like some sort of character thing with Mallory where she's not actually excited to be home alone. That's never really expressed. No. She needs to write this paper on the Louisiana Purchase, which is not shopping in Louisiana.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's a very cheap and easy joke.
It's a pretty good joke.
But no. I still was like, I don't know. I like that. That was good.
It's good. I mean, the second time when they repeat it, it's like, okay, I got it the first time, but first time it was...
They didn't come back for a third, did they? The episode should have ended with her being like, and I still don't know the Louisiana Purchase. Like, you have to tie it back. That's the key of sitcom writing. Comedy writing.
I mean, this episode, I don't think, did a very good job of tying the two stories together.
No, that's the thing. That's a weird thing about a lot of 80s sitcoms. Like, Seinfeld and Cheers are the shows that really perfected that art of, like, we're going to have multiple storylines that feel meaty enough on their own. Then Seinfeld was like, we're going to take it a step further and, like, intertwine them all together by the end. Like, it was such a game changer, Seinfeld doing that.
It just needs to be a light intertwine or the way it ends. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's like they just come home.
Yeah.
There's no like they don't even make it to grandma's house. There's
no we don't
mention.
Ever see grandma. We hear her talking about it a lot. So the opening credits of the show. Let's talk like. This is a pet peeve of mine now that I've watched so much Family Ties. It's a paint by numbers kind of opening credits. Like it starts out with like the pencil line.
The paintbrush going down with
but
the blue paint.
The very first shot of it is the paintbrush with red paint just like stabbing the thing. It's just like this big thick blob of red paint just hits Meredith Baxter Burney, the mom's shoulder. And when you see the end result, I'm like, there is no way that that technique resulted in that. Art. That's a weird specific.
I mean, I'd have to go back and look at it again. I mean, the paint was going on pretty heavy, but I feel like it looks like it's like a pastel drawing in the end.
Wait, you have an art it's background, like, don't like you?
Ish. I'm not like, yes. I shouldn't downplay it. Yes. I went to art school. I don't make paintings by any means.
Okay.
But yes.
You're not on the level of the Family Ties opening credits.
Yeah, I could not. I could not create that.
The theme
but I could
song,
get you somebody who could.
Oh, maybe I should. That'd be good promotional art. And then the theme song is such an 80s theme song. It's like the most soft rock. Like, it is memorable through repetition. Like, I've heard it so much that I remember
it's pleasant. It's not.
It's not hooky. It's not like. It's not.
Yeah, it doesn't really get you excited to watch the show. It's like the step-by-step theme. You're like, all right, we're about to do this.
It's a roller coaster. They're going, hey!
It's a literal roller coaster.
Yeah, like they're just like belting it out. This is just like your parents have control of the radio for this like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it's like a little easy listening.
Yeah. So the episode itself starts with the Louisiana Purchase joke. The entire Keaton family is packing up to go to grandma's. Now, everyone has conflicting reasons why they want to go to grandma's. Alex wants to go because he wants to get with the neighbor girl, Lisa. But he doesn't lead on. He plays that down.
Which, as much as he can.
Yeah, but like, you know, he's hot for this girl. Tina Yothers, who plays Jennifer, just wants cable. She wants to watch cable, which is where I'm like, wait, they didn't have cable? But that's shocking to me. But it's 1985, so
I grew up with no cable.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Not yeah. So it's like things like
so did my
Dick
husband.
Van Dyke, Mary, ugh. Dick Van Dyke, Mary Tyler Moore. It's like you're watching these things on Nick and Knight, and I just, I mean, I know they exist because they're something that exists, but I've not fully engaged yeah. in it. And if I did have cable, I'd be watching it all. I mean, I sat in front of the TV my whole childhood.
Oh yeah. That's, I mean, so I don't know what I, well, what would I do, baby, without cable? So like when you're growing up without cable, it's kind of like once all those shows hit Nick at Night, it's like they were kind of taken out of rotation on like local syndication. So like local syndication was usually like shit that was still on the air, but you're watching like the older episodes of it, like yeah. Simpsons, Seinfeld, etc.
There was still like a date during the daytime. If I were home, there'd be like Bewitched or Genie
oh.
or The Monkey Show. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Those were like strictly weekday daytime.
Cable is such a, it was just such a godsend. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I wouldn't have the career I have. This podcast probably wouldn't exist. Who would I be? Who would I even be?
Yeah.
So they are really excited to, like, she wants to watch cable, and she's not really even, like, making bones of it. She's like, yeah, this is what I want. They got cable. I don't do that. Mallory wants to stay behind and do schoolwork. Well, she does. She needs to. She needs to. She yeah. doesn't want to.
But maybe it's, like, an elaborate ruse and...
Yeah,
she wants to like, but what's she going to do at home if they don't have cable?
Exactly right. What would I do? What would I do? Oh man, maybe that theme song is catchy. So there, what is kind of wild looking back in retrospect is this one little exchange is setting up so much plot that they just don't get into. Like we never see this neighbor girl. The cable comes up a bit, but like tangentially.
Yeah, a little.
It would have been fun to see like what if Mallory actually was trying to get them all out of the house, like if there was like a scheme going on. But she literally like wants to stay behind for the most boring reason possible, doing schoolwork, which is also kind of out of her character because she's like the more popular, not as bright girl. It's weird.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I also want to point out that for some reason they aren't just going to visit their grandmother. They're also going to a reunion for their Lamaze class. What?
Do you know how many like episodes this baby has existed in the show for at this point?
The baby was just... This is episode 22 of season 3, and I think the baby was born in 17 and 18. So the baby okay. is still like... It is a new baby. So it is, but it's just like so crazy that the plot line they come up with is, yeah, Lamaze class reunion, obviously. That's a thing. That's what they're doing.
Well, I guess if they didn't have grandma's house, they couldn't get the other kids out of the house or something. Because like, Lamaze reunion would just be the parents. Why would they bring...
Yeah. So it's like, why even have them all go into the grandma's house? Because then you can bring in whoever plays that mom. You can have a guest star. Just use that set that you built for the Lamaze reunion. That's grandma's house. Just decorate it differently.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just do the grandma thing. Give us all that stuff instead of what we get is crying babies are annoying. Oh, boy. Is this part where I just wanted to talk about how much Alex P. Keaton is a shit?
Oh, he's a total shit.
He's a total shit.
Is he, like, ever, like, endearing or likable? Like... Do you ever have like a moment where you're like, oh, this guy, I get him?
No, I don't think
he's just
not,
kind of an ass the whole
yeah, not from what
run
I've
of
seen.
The show.
I do think that it is a testament to Michael J. Fox's megawatt charisma that he playing Alex P. Keaton made that character iconic, lovable, that this didn't just like. Well, I was going to say like Ferguson on Clarissa Explains It All. No one likes that character. And Alex B. Keaton and Ferguson are kind of the same character. But Michael J. Fox just makes it so good, even though he is a Nixon apologist, hardcore conservative who in a season 5 episode I watched wanted to like teach his little brother about not sharing because it was socialist.
Whoa.
In pre-K, he goes to pre-K and tells all the kids to stop sharing. And that's the, it's doesn't
God,
it,
the neoconservatives of the 1980s.
I think, I mean, like,
thanks, Ronald Reagan.
Alex P. Keaton is Tucker Carlson now, I think. I don't know. I mean, that's probably a hot take, but I don't know. I think politics have definitely become a lot more charged and polarized in the past 10 years. So it is very, very, very hard to go back and look at Alex P. Keaton.
Think of this as charming.
As charming, where it's like, at that time, it's like, oh, he's a Nixon apologist. Isn't that funny? He's like, that's his hero. And now it's like, after knowing a lot more about Nixon, you're like, oh no, that monster. Everyone listen to the Slow Burn Nixon season podcast.
Gotta write that down.
It's very good. Very good. And very bad person. But anyway. I you know what? If listeners are still listening to me 93 episodes in, you know that I'm not pro Nixon. I'm not pro Alex P. Keaton. Maybe he had a come to Jesus moment. Maybe Alex P. Keaton changed his tune in the 90s and 2000s. We didn't see it. I don't know. Who knows? So then the Keatons leave. We get the start of our locked in subplot. Skippy is just in the house. The neighbor boy is just in the house.
I mean, I think that's kind of common, though, yeah. Right? It's like Urkel is just in the house. Kimmy Gibbler is just in the house.
Just
it's
walking
like.
In.
It's an extension of their own home.
Yeah, which is kind of the point they get to at the end of the episode is like, oh, you know, you're kind of an adopted Keaton in a way. I did point out his look that he's serving when he walks in is like this Judd Nelson in the Breakfast Club, like oversized gray flannel, like trench kind of deal. And then like the biggest mustard colored pants.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they're kind of like. I don't know the term I want to use. It's like they almost have like an elastic waistband, which I think is curious.
I mean, hey, as one iconic pants wearer to Skippy, your pants pals.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would wear these pants that Skippy is
they're good
wearing.
Pants. They're good pants.
They're good.
I mean, honestly, his look has aged very well. So is Alex's, honestly. Yeah. Like, you know, it's a good look for everyone. Before Alex leaves, he tells Mallory, like, go down to I have like a trunk of my old plate papers, like go down there and like they'll help you learn about the Louisiana Purchase or something. So Mallory and Skippy go down to the basement to get that trunk and take it up. I did like that the trunk had his initials on it.
I mean, it makes sense. It's like possessive.
He's fussy.
Yeah. What's it? Roughly the age gap between Alex and Mallory?
Only a couple years. Like, he's in college now, and she's in, like, a senior in high school. I think they're only, like, a couple years. Honestly, I always assume Alex is a middle child, because
Michael J. Fox
is
like, yeah, he's infinitely youthful somehow.
Yeah. So, but he is older than Mallory.
Yeah.
Then we get, Act 2, we get the Lamaze reunion. They go to this place. It's like a very 80s yuppie couple. They have twins. Alex is asking for a certain channel because it's the Playboy channel. Wink, wink, wink. Ugh. Which is... It is... So, like, this is... This whole cable plot line, I want to point out. He asked for the Playboy channel. Jennifer's like, I want to watch hockey. They, like, then go off. They come back. And Alex and Jennifer are fully having an argument about cable in a stranger's home. I wrote they're acting fools in a stranger's house because they.
It's not grandma's house. It's...
And I was like, you got to be on your best behavior when you're at a stranger's house. And like Alex was trying to pass off Playboy as C-SPAN, and Jennifer like saw right through that. And I just wrote down this scene is hell because all the babies are crying.
They're complaining about cable.
It is a bad deal. Would you assume if you were going to a Lamaze reunion, would you want your Lamaze reunion to be with or without baby?
I would think it would be with baby, especially since apparently they've not met these babies.
Yes, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, you bring your baby.
Because one couple forgets to bring the baby, and that's like a pointed source of tension between the two of them because they were like, I thought we weren't. But it's also weird, like, where is this Lamaze Kalas located? Because they all live far enough away that this necessitates an overnight trip to the grandmother's house.
The other couple that didn't bring the baby are, well, they're an hour away because they say it'll take us two hours. So an hour there, hour back.
It's very weird. My grandparents growing up lived an hour away from us, and we never did overnight. That was always... I stay for 3 hours longer than I want to while they all talk about whatever. And I'm just like, oh my God, get me out.
Did your grandparents not have cable?
No, they definitely had cable because my grandfather watched nothing but TNN, the Nashville network, because of the gospel singing that would come on overnight. So I have a lot of Nashville network memories from when I was a child. Shotgun Red, anybody? It's one of my favorite specifics. It's a Southern puppet.
Oh. Is TNN still a station? I remember this being kind of a thing.
TNN is Spike now. TNN became... It was like bought out a couple of times and it has slowly morphed into being whatever. And Spike is still around, right? Spike is now Paramount.
Is still there.
Spike's now Paramount TV. I think, right?
Because I remember when Spike happened and Spike Lee tried to sue them for the name.
Shut up.
It's like circa 2002 or something.
Because they tried to make the Nashville Network more global and like TNN, people are like, that stands for the Nashville Network. We can't watch that. Which also, why would you? Just had hee-haw and gospel music shows. So we cut back to the basement, a different kind of hell, and Skippy's trying to break out by like trying to bust his arm. Mallory has a really funny line where she's like, don't worry about it, just keep going. It's like fully expendable in her quest for freedom. This is where Skippy has on him, because she's like, we might starve, and he has just on him a cup of soup packet and a cup, but he doesn't use water.
A cup of soup. I mean, I guess I've only thought of cup of soup with like noodles.
Yeah, like a ramen thing. Yeah.
And this is just like a packet. And I mean, it doesn't mean that you can't have like split pea soup flavoring. Yeah. But that is the least appealing type of.
You find out that he doesn't even put water in it. So he just like pours powder into a cup and just like chugs the powder. What a weirdo. Would Skippy survive on the Circle?
They would love him on the Circle.
The producers would.
He
would get cast immediately.
Yeah, I think so. His style, he would do well.
And I think Mallory would get put into the cursed room and would go home first. Because she's the pretty one.
Popular.
Yeah, they're always the sacrificial lamb. Truth, if you guys haven't watched The Circle International, spoiler alert, but the same apartment is cursed.
The hot girl always goes home first.
And they all live in that same apartment. It's wild. Articles I write. Skippy does break the water heater immediately by just sticking his hand in it.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I know very, very little about water heaters. You can't really extract just hot water from a water heater, can you?
He like takes off a panel and just sticks his hand into it as if he's going to just like pull out a handful of hot water and put it. I don't know what.
It's like there's not a tap on. I could be completely wrong.
But then it also it's related to the power. The power goes out. Mallory fixes the power. They kind of really, really, really quickly run through all of the trapped in a place tropes, because like power goes out, they try to break out but the snow comes in, so like they're cold, they're trapped, they find weird clothes to keep warm, which are chipmunk costumes.
Brilliant. I like how Skippy's like, oh, there are clothes in here, seeing like these two furry chipmunk costumes and registering that as clothes.
Yeah. In Skippy's world, who knows what he's wearing at home? You know? But these are like, it's the parents' costumes from a costume party a while ago that they don't recognize when they come home.
But also, it's in Alex's trunk?
Yeah, I was thinking that Alex probably like punked her. I was like, yeah, go look at my trunk. There's nothing in my trunk. But
Well, there's, yeah, I mean, yeah. The paper they extract from the trunk is like, third grade paper where
She tries to do jumping jacks. Skippy then immediately sprains his ankle. It's like they really, this one scene, they cover a lot of trapped together ground. They don't save it because they have to get back, because they have to get to this Lamaze reunion where you find out that these parents have nothing in common except those babies. Now they're asleep and they are all trapped. Oh, it's a different kind of trapped.
Oh my God.
Multiple.
Well, apparently they decide to get together despite like not even having conversation. Like
they don't know anything.
They know nothing.
And then the one guy just brings up out of nowhere, how's about that election, huh? And then the Keatons are like, yeah, I can't believe we have to deal with that guy for 4 more years. And then the yuppies are like, we think he's doing a great job. And then the third guy who brought it up is like, yeah, I don't know anything about politics. So, oh boy. I did write down, though, how do adults make friends?
I know.
So, like, I'm like, you know what? A Lamaze reunion might sound crazy, but if I'm desperate for friends, that might be a thing.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, yeah, I don't know enough about the Keatons, like, history.
They seem to be very active in their community.
Yeah, they don't live far from grandma, so no. They couldn't have left too far from, they can't be too far from like home.
Yeah. So maybe they, now I, of course, I need friends. That's what I need.
Yeah. How do adults, I mean, shit, I moved to LA 2 years ago and yeah, all of my friends are just Gina's friends that I've ported over.
Is she from LA?
Friends.
Or is she already?
Yeah, she's from LA.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's,
so
I mean,
it's like,
I was in New York for 4 years before my husband moved here. So when he started dating me, like, that's
well,
his life.
You made friends with UCB.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
you have to get, you have
yeah,
to
you
get
have
in.
To find.
I also looked out that
Lamaze.
Yeah. Lamaze doesn't sound so crazy. It doesn't sound so crazy.
No, but it doesn't sound like a great place to, I mean, I don't know.
The
I
only thing
know.
You have in common is babies. That ain't enough.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like with UCB, it's like you're all interested in this, like,
yeah,
certain style of comedy.
There's an
and...
activity to do, so you're never just sitting around there waiting for the babies to wake up so you can put them
but
to sleep
again. It's
also
like an activity
yeah.
that, like, in doing it, you're expressing yourself and showing yourself and, like, who
yeah.
you are and your interests. And but Lamaze is just like...
You're breathing.
You're making heaving noises for
yeah.
an hour, and then
they
you
didn't
go
even
home.
Know that that the one couple was having twins. Like, that's how little they talk.
Yeah.
They didn't even know that. Because they show up and they're like, "Who's that extra baby?" It's like they had twins.
I mean,
wow.
it could be a surprise twin that happens. Like,
yeah, there's TLC shows about that.
Moon. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when we cut back to the basement, they're in the chipmunk costumes. Skippy reads this letter. There's paper that Alex wrote in like third grade where he talks about going to the zoo. And it's all about money. It's like, I cost 50 cents to get in. My parents cost a dollar. My dream is to own a zoo and charge $2. No discounts. A stingy little baby. The 80s were wild. The 80s were fully wild.
Yeah. They should have had her find his Louisiana purchase paper.
Yeah.
Because he probably has some hot takes on that transaction. Like,
yeah,
you
when
know,
I grow up, I'll sell it for
$2. Acre is, yeah, exactly.
So this is also where Skippy's had a sprained ankle. So Mallory like takes some snow and puts it in his on his foot. Because sure,
yeah. Which paw?
Yeah, which paw is like? Oh, that this is where Skippy Mallory find a photo from Mallory's 7th birthday. Skippy was there. And that's where she realizes that, like, he's kind of an honorary Keaton. She has nothing special about her. Like, she has this kind of breakdown. And then he's nice to her. And then then she kisses him on the cheek, and he's like, I'm never going to wash his face again.
And you're never going to be kissed again.
Yeah, because dirtiness. So this is a running theme in a lot of family sitcoms, is the nerdy character who has the unrequited, persistent stalkery crush on the daughter character. Because
yes.
Let me tell you, Family Matters, fun show, great show, Urkel's great. The stuff with him and Laura is really upsetting in 2020.
Wait, is Steve Urkel actually like going home to the Reddit incel channel?
I mean, I would hope. I feel like Steve Urkel has a good heart, and I don't think he would do that.
Okay.
I think he is a pure of hearted. He actually is. Oh my God. If you're going to have someone stalk you, you definitely want it to be Urkel because he is harmless. That's awful. But there is this whole arc in season five where Myra Monkhouse, who is just like great. She is as peculiar and weird as him. She's gorgeous, fun, like got it together. She loves, she's obsessed with Steve. And she basically like agrees to be his girlfriend as long as it's okay that he still has a crush on Laura. Like, and multiple times it is made clear that the millisecond after Laura shows any type of like passing misconstrued interest, he's like, dumped. You're gone, Myra. Like, it's weird. It's almost like the writers didn't want to give up the Urkel crush jokes, but they also wanted to like explore him having a girlfriend. So it's like cake, pie, all of it.
I should revisit.
It's a good show. It is really good. I did write an article. Season three, I think, is a perfect season of TV. That's where you first meet the Urkel bot.
When does Stefan come in?
That's, I think, season five. Like, late four or early five, because I just watched it. He doesn't put him into his own clone body until way later in the run. What the fuck? So, the episode ends, like, so abruptly because the family just, like, we cut to the next day, we never see Grandma, we never go back to the Moss thing, they never tie up the cable plot line, just come back, the family comes downstairs to find them asleep in the basement in chipmunk costumes, and they're just like, what the fuck? Rightly so. it's very abrupt, and then, like, Mallory just hugs them, the dad pats her on the tail.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, this is how you open the door.
Oh, yeah, and it's like, it was never locked. And it's like, oh. And and he's like, he apologizes. She's like, you know what? It wasn't so bad. Whatever. That's it. End of episode.
Yeah.
What did we learn?
What did we learn?
Yeah. Did we learn anything?
No.
I will say kudos to Family Ties, because what I've noticed watching seasons one and two is that season one is a straight up drama. Every episode is like dramatic. If there are jokes, they're incidental, but there's still a laugh track. But it is like, here's an issue every single week, and we are gonna like get into shit. and so
that could be good.
Yeah, I'm glad season two, it gets a little bit more fun. They loosen up, characters get a little bit like, you know, sharper. I like that. This episode, like, there is nothing going on really.
Yeah, and it closes out season three,
it's
no?
At the very end. It might be the season finale, or like close to.
I think so. Or like, maybe, yeah.
Weird. are you ready for some must-have facts about this episode?
Absolutely.
Oh my God, get ready. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
21.6 million people watch this episode of television. 21.6.
What evening was this on? Is this a Thursday night show?
Yeah. So, yeah, this is part of the iconic, I think it's part of the very first iteration of must-see TV. It wasn't branded as such, but, like, this is the genesis of it. So the top five shows of this week, which I know because I have a newspapers.com account now. For reasons I'll get into, I guess. Number five was Cheers. Number four was The A-Team. Three was Dynasty. Two was this episode of Family Ties. And the number one show was The Cosby Show. What are you? Do you have any fond memories of any of those five shows? 18 Dynasty.
Cheers is great. Yeah. And what I remember of the Cosby Show, if I divorce any sort of like knowing of Bill Cosby now, I remember thinking it was good and fun. I don't particularly want to revisit it because I don't want
to
put money in anybody's pocket.
No, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Did you have Mr. T? Was Mr. T a part of your childhood? Just in terms of him being a thing?
As like an abstract, but not as like, I don't think I went to the toy aisle and like saw a Mr. T toy. And I mean, that's not like the type of toy that I would even gravitate towards, but yeah.
Because I never watched A-Team as a kid. I didn't even watch like the Mr. T cartoon, but still, like, Mr. T was such a huge just persona, like a living cartoon character that like I was just aware of him at all times in a way. Like, yeah. He was just such huge thing.
A-Team is like a more like, it's, I, for some reason, all I can think of to compare it to is Hawaii Five-0, but it's
It's like a heart to heart, but no one wants to fuck each other.
Yeah, it's like a heart to heart, but it's like more butch.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like they have like actual guns.
Oh yeah, and heart to heart mostly just uses like wiles. Don't worry, listeners, I am planning some special heart to heart episodes of this podcast because this is what I do. This was part of the NBC Thursday Night lineup, which at this time, the Thursday Night lineup, get into it. The Cosby Show, Family Ties, Cheers, Night Court, and Hill Street Blues. What a lineup. I mean, that's iconic top to bottom.
It's 1985?
Yeah.
What year is this?
Yeah. 1985. Yeah, this is the 84-85 TV season. So now, again, because I have a newspapers.com account, I was able to see the actual like article that was written in the Town Talk from Alexandria, Louisiana, the March 15th, 1985 edition, page 35. they actually have like a little article that I guess was part of the AP report on this. Yeah. That gets into like how, for some reason, this particular week, they were like, this week signals that comedy is back. and that's because just like, the previous TV season, if you look at the top shows, they're all dramas. There's like three sitcoms in the top 30. It's crazy. And then you see this, like, it's all sitcoms. Newhart, Kate and Allie, Cheers, Family Ties, Cosby. Comedy's back. So the quotes they have around this, though, was that, like, people weren't into slapstick anymore. Gerald Jaffe, NBC's vice president for research projects, said, I guess the American public is signaling us that they want classy comedies. So these were classy comedies to them, which I could see that, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's like everything that happened in this episode could happen to you.
Yes. There's no aliens.
There's nothing outlandish, but.
Now then. Yeah, So Mike Eisenberg, CBS's director of audience measurement, then said, you're not going to see slapstick comedy succeed. That cycle is over, and this is the strongest evidence yet. And then he said that it might have something to do with the upbeat mood of the country. We don't need escapist comedy now. Which, that context, reading it in 2020, just like, wow, unpack.
I think it's Reagan in 85,
Reagan,
right?
Was just reelected.
It's Reagan, AIDS, war on drugs. It's like, if I think 1985, those are the things that immediately come to my mind.
But if you're a white, middle-class, upper-class American living in 1985, you're like, Reagan's back, and gay people don't exist, and all the drug dealers are going to jail. Like, you're...
If you're a Alex on Family Ties.
Yeah, you're like, Thriller's out, we're winning, winning, winning. But it is wild to think, like, you know, we have an upbeat mood.
Saying,
we don't need escapist comedy now. And it's just like, 2020, honey, I'm watching nothing but escapist comedy.
Yeah.
The reason I have this newspapers.com account, listeners, is because I am doing deep dive research into Hayden Rourke's life for hot, exclusive I Dream of Jeannie intel that I'll be doling out at some point. I have spoken to Hayden Rourke's oldest living relative. Alex follows me on Instagram, so he gets my daily updates.
I'm into it. I like it.
Of me cyber-stalking anyone that knows Hayden Rourke and finding it. This is what I'm doing. But because I now I forgot to cancel this newspapers.com free trial, and once it was up for a week, it renewed for 6 months.
Set an alarm on your or a calendar notification on your phone to cancel it a week before the 6 months is up.
Yeah. But I'm like, you know, it has been a regular occurrence that I've wanted to actually see these ratings articles. And every week when I do a podcast, I'm like, I can't get to them. So that's fine. So the joke about her saying that she doesn't know what she would do with twins is a meta joke, because Meredith Baxter Burney had twins at this time. Like, the reason that her character got pregnant is because she was pregnant with twins. Boom. Didn't see that coming, did you? Twist. Twins. Twin twist.
But they didn't use her twins as the twin babies on the show.
No, they should really do that sometime, though.
I mean, I really like how, like, there's that one shot of those twins, and then every other time there's somebody's carrying a baby, it's obviously a bag of flour.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just there's no, like, question about it. It's just, like, that's not
a non-entity.
A squiggling thing. Gosh. Yeah.
Non-baby. On IMDb, 65 Family Ties superfans rated this episode a 6.9 out of 10. Alex, would you go higher or lower? Is that right on the money? 6.9 out of 10? What do numbers even mean, man?
Yeah, you see, I would have to watch, like, maybe 5 episodes to really get a 6.5. Like, what's the average Family Ties?
Oh, I see. That's information rating. I should know. I've watched a lot of Family Ties recently, and I would say 6.9 is right. This is not a stellar episode of the show.
Yeah, I'd give it a 5.
Yeah.
It wasn't offensive.
No. I mean, the half hour flew by. It was fun. I imagine it was probably like a chill week on set, you know, like this is. Oh, but is this the time? Because there is a season where Michael J. Fox was shooting Back to the Future and doing Family Ties. He did them at the same time. He would shoot Back to the Future overnight and then come in and do Family Ties.
Christ.
And then it was all night shoots for him because he wanted it that bad. Smart move.
Well, yes, but also that sounds like hell.
Hard working hell. Michael J. Fox. Who had the must-see performance of this episode? Who was the MVP, the MSP?
Probably Skippy. It's all about Skippy. I mean, it has to be. I mean, the one parent, the Larry.
Yeah.
He's like a character actor, and it's like I've seen him in something, and then I can't really.
Yeah,
place
he's got
what
some
I've
good
line.
Yeah, I'll give it. Yeah, Skippy. But Skippy does sell.
But Skippy is. It's yeah. I mean, it's about Skippy.
Skip it, man. Skippy, skip it. Don't skip it. Don't skip on Skippy.
Yeah.
What am I doing? And must other people see this episode of TV? What else
you do? Couldn't hurt anything. Yeah,
it's not like it's not a must see. I don't think.
No, I don't think it's a must see. But again, it's like my relationship with sitcoms is: you turn on the TV, it's what's on. I wouldn't change the station.
No, yeah,
it would have me for the half hour with ads. So,
well, and on CBS All Access, would you let the next one auto play on? Would you?
Probably.
Yeah. What else? What else is anyone doing?
Yeah, what would we?
Jesus Christ, what is anyone doing? I'll tell you what some people are doing. They're leaving reviews in iTunes, which I want to read. If you're okay with hearing people compliment me. Because I rarely get iTunes reviews, and so I still am begging people to leave them. So there's 3 that I haven't read, and I will get into them now. Thano Disney wrote, wonderful podcast, 5 stars. It's a rating that I love. Brett White is a fun podcaster who has a very thorough education on TV history. I will take that. I think my education is the fact that I just watch a lot. But thank you. Such a great way to pass time during quarantine. The Pride episodes have been fascinating. Who knew Hayden Rourke, a.k.a. Dr. Bellows, was such a nice guy in real life? Let me just tell you, fan of Disney, he was. He was even nicer than you can even imagine. And I now have first-hand stories about that I will be able to tell at some point. I don't, I mean, like, I'm like sitting on this like pot of gold of hot Hayden Rourke information. People clamoring. I don't know. It's very nice.
No,
it's good stories. Next up, still, the title is still on air, which I don't, I mean, hey, it is. Five stars by Chaotic Rambler. I meant to send a new review because apparently I can review this as many times as I want, but I resent my original. Oh, I resent my original. Oh, wow. Resent and resent mean two very different things, but are spelled the same way. My new review is this. Bret Wyatt is still on air and going strong, even as he is, quote, losing his cool, and I'm grateful for his presence. I've definitely said losing my cool at some point. There's a lot of misery in this world that affects me directly, and I can't avoid it, and it's nice to have some place to recharge. Thanks. Thank you.
Aww.
My God. Oh, Lord. And then this next one was left on July 5th by Phillips Kurt, which is the kind of, this is the kind of review I love to read. Five stars, of course. I landed here accidentally thanks to a failed web search for something Rhoda related. I want to interject to be like, what were you searching for about Rhoda? I want to know, a failed web search. How did it fail? Totally enjoyed talking about that series' pilot episode, as well as the episodes covering Bob Newhart, Some of My Best Friends Are, and MTM's Will Mary Richards Go to Jail. Hopefully by now the host has tracked down Barbara Colby's three Phyllis appearances. I have not, Phillips Kurt. Maybe someday. This is not lightweight chatter about old sitcoms. It's thoughtful commentary by the host and his guests on the historical context and cultural significance of noteworthy episodes of classic shows, but with a lighthearted approach. Their love and respect for the art form is abundantly clear. I plan to come back and listen to more. Thank you so much. And thank you for listening to all that, Alex.
No, it's great. No, it's great that people are finding it that don't. I mean, that's the dream.
Oh yeah, I mean, hey, my SEO
you
must
hang
be popping.
Your shingle. Yeah, you hang your shingle and people find you.
Yeah, wait. It's, so where can people find you? Where's your podcast?
Where's my podcast? I don't know if I have the fortitude to put together something that organized.
Well, I mean, hey, you can just hit record and just talk.
Yeah, I mean that's what I was doing on Instagram, and then it's like everything just became a lot, and
yeah.
It's like I don't like this is not the voice people need to be hearing right now.
No,
and,
yep, yeah.
But then it's like, yeah, it's
still it's like this was an outlet, this was a form of like weird self therapy that I was engaging in, and now I can't, and like this is why I'm throwing myself
into
researching.
But then it's like I don't want to come off as like insensitive or
yeah.
It's everything's
bad. But people can still follow you on social medias.
Yeah, on Instagram.
At
it's a two underscores and then my last name, Lake, LAKE.
That does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guest, Alex Lake, for dropping by and talking about family ties with me. Next time, I will be discussing I don't know what because I haven't chosen the episode yet or booked the guest yet, but I'm trying to get back on track. Follow the podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Must Have Seen TV, where maybe you'll find out what I'm talking about next, because I will hopefully post it there. It's a lot of work. Being the producer and social media manager for a podcast trying to look professional is a lot of work, so just bear with me. I don't know.
You're doing great.
I'm trying. I'm losing my cool. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review Must Have Seen TV and Apple Podcasts like those fine listeners did. That you heard from. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White, where you will see me posting Insta stories of new purchases that I make, like the I'm Dickens, He's Finster season one on DVD. You can go back and listen
what
to that
is
episode.
That?
It is.
I guess I should listen to the episode is
yeah,
what it is.
It is a one season wonder sitcom starring John Astin, his first
yeah,
sitcom.
Yeah,
I
saw it on your Instagram and I'm just like,
what one
is
season.
That show?
It was but really funny.
It was good enough to put on DVD, so...
Yeah, well, only half of season one. The other half still hasn't come out yet, so... Oh, boy. Get those hot updates on Instagram at Brett White. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. Thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to everyone for listening, and I will see y'all next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.